This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, Little My Girl from The Temptations. Remember them? What a great group that was. The Four Tops and The Temptations. Oh, boy. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I am a temptation to you. You can't pull your ears away from this program once you start listening. It's habit forming. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning, chilly Wednesday morning in Tampa Bay, January 22nd already. Wow. In a few minutes, John Glazier of the Cato Institute is going to join us, and we're going to talk about the War Powers Act, and how Congress should be working to take back its authority in our world conflicts. I think you're going to find it very interesting, so stay tuned. And also, midnight madness at the Capitol as the Trump impeachment trial wends its way into the morning hours. We will talk about all that. Also ask the proprietor of the only poll that matters in this country, the Barber Poll, his thoughts on whether or not there's going to be witnesses. To what? I don't know, but witnesses in this trial. And you know acetaminophen? Ed, you know what acetaminophen is, don't you?
Acetaminophen.
Yeah, yes. You know it better than I do, acetaminophen.
Got a bottle of it right there.
Do you? Did you know that it's a cancer-causing drug?
Yeah, they've been saying that for years.
Yeah. Well, California seems to really think so. So we're going to talk about whether or not you're going to be allowed to... Is that the same thing as aspirin?
It's an ingredient that goes along with most painkillers.
Yeah.
Opiates used to have it in there. And then I don't think ibuprofen has it in it.
No.
But there's
another
one.
But it's got aspirin in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, doctor.
No problem.
You're really good at this stuff.
Send you my bill.
Yeah. Very, very, very good. Anyway, we're going to talk about whether or not California should ban it. Okay, and in our ultimate top 10, you remember a few shows ago we had the top 10, what was it, fattest states? Well, we got the fittest states, fittest, not fattest, in the U.S., so stay tuned for that. Okay. Oh, also, will you please go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, please, because if you do, you'll be able to hear any show you'd like in the most recent past, because Big Ed, bless his little heart, puts all of our shows on podcast. So, ourfreedomworks.com. Also, got to remind you that the best barbershop in Tampa Bay is Andrew's Master Barbershop. We're going to hear from him a little bit later. But you guys, if you're in the Tampa Bay area and you haven't gone to him for a haircut, you don't know what you're missing. First of all, you get the best haircut you'll ever get. I mean, that's a given. All you have to do, talk to people to go there. He's got over 50 years of experience, but he's got a great crew with him that he trained. They're located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580, Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, I made the mistake of watching these people get in front of a microphone last night in the trial of Donald Trump. And it was a marathon. Ed, do you watch any of that?
No.
What's wrong with you, Ed? This is a political show. I thought you were going to help me with
this. What kind of drinks were they serving last night?
Milk and water. Seriously.
Yeah, right.
You heard about that? Did you hear about it? That's why you asked me, right? That's true.
Really?
Did you know there is a law in the impeachment trial? First of all, the senators, who are the jurors, are treated like jurors. They may not leave during all of this thing going on. That's number one. Number two, you may not talk amongst yourselves while this is going on. You know what I mean? You got to listen to the testimony. That's number two. And number three, true, you can either drink water or milk while you're there, sitting in your chair, and that's it. So that's why I thought maybe that's why you made that joke.
But signing documents with pens shaped like bullets is allowed.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can get up there and make a complete fool of yourself, as I think Adam Schiff and a few other people have done. And that's okay. There's no law against that. So what happened was John Roberts, who was the Chief Justice, and is also sitting in as the judge. Now, technically, he's not really a judge. He's only there to interpret any constitutional matters that may come up where there's an issue. But he scolded both sides in this thing. They got into a shouting match well after midnight. So it was early this morning as Trump's legal team unloaded on Jerry Nadler. Remember him? Jerry Nadler. He is supposedly the House Judiciary Chairman, although Adam Schiff has taken over this thing, and he's from the Intelligence Committee. But anyway, Nadler starts going in a back and forth, and it prompted a bleary-eyed John Roberts, the Chief Justice, to admonish both sides for misconduct in the chamber. Nadler started a historic spat by speaking in support of the Eighth Amendment of the day. All of them are being basically voted down. Chuck Schumer is going one amendment after another he's trying to add to this trial. They've all been voted down along party lines. So that's 53 votes against the amendment and 47 votes for the amendment. 53 Republicans, 47 Democrats in the Senate. So this has been going on, and everybody's getting it's like being stuck in traffic. After a while, you can be patient for so long. I was at a stoplight on the way in, and I thought there was something wrong with the stoplight. We were sitting there so long, and nobody was coming the other way, you know? And after a while, you start to question whether or not everything is working the way it should. That's the way this impeachment trial is going. So do not, Ed, start listening to this thing, because it'll drive you nuts, okay? Apparently, it was driving John Roberts nuts. McConnell has all of these votes then that are coming up, and every one of these amendments by Chuck Schumer, by the way, who is the minority leader in the Senate, every one of these amendments went down by a 53-47 party line vote. And I guess finally, around 2 in the morning, they stopped doing all of this. So we'll see what happens again today, and we'll be talking a little bit further with Andrew, the master barber, about whether or not he had if he made the mistake of listening to it last night. In the meantime, by the way, Donald Trump, you know where he is? He's in Switzerland, in Davos, Switzerland, and he is going to hold a news conference today, I think, as he is finishing up with the World Economic Forum there. After earlier voicing optimism regarding the impeachment trial, he says, we have a great case. That's what he said to reporters that were gathered there in Davos after his motorcade arrived. And he thinks his legal team is doing a very good job. So there you go. He's happy. At least he's over there. Probably a good idea to be over there, right? For more reasons than just one. You know, he looks like he's doing his job. He's also away from the fray. And maybe he won't tweet as much. Who knows? Anyway, let's take our break. We're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk with John Glazer of the Cato Institute about the War Powers Act and whether or not Congress is abdicating its authority. Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. My candy girl, and you got me wanting you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a rather cold day here in Tampa. I'm not sure that we've hit 50 degrees yet, Ed. It's been very cold out today. It's kind of nice.
And you woke up to 34 degrees.
Yeah, wow. Unbelievable.
Yep, and right now it's 42.
42 degrees. Okay, wow. Delighted to have John Glazier. He's director of foreign policy studies at the Cato Institute. He's going to help warm us up. And we're going to talk about, the War Powers Act and some of the things that Donald Trump and the administration are doing these days, and the whole concept of whether or not what the administration is doing is really constitutional. John, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. You know, we've had all of these skirmishes ever since World War II. Korea and Vietnam, more than skirmishes, of course, but Iraq and a bunch of other ones, maybe not as well remembered. But then we have Afghanistan. And yet we haven't declared war. Congress has not declared war in any of those that I just mentioned, not one of them. These are conflicts that we somehow got ourselves into slowly but surely, and then, you know, in many cases, we left them rather unsettled, as in North Korea, in the Korean War. So we've got this thing, the War Powers Act, and yet I wonder whether or not we're ignoring the Constitution, which says only Congress has the power to declare war. I wanted to kind of start off on that vein with you, because are we, in fact, moving further away from our Constitution when it comes to conflicts?
Yeah, and I think the historical inflection point that you pointed to is the exact right one. I mean, it was really the end of World War II, the disproportionate sort of place and position that the United States had in the international system at that time, just because it was so powerful, and then the sort of permanent state of war that set in with the Soviets. The Cold War really did expand the power of the president with respect to war powers. And, you know, the War Powers Resolution that you refer to was passed in 1973, and it was passed after a long set of revelations that Johnson and Nixon had used the ability to engage in hostilities abroad without Congress's permission or authority, and so they tried to rein in that expanded power of the president to go to war. And what they essentially said is, look, if you need to introduce U.S. forces into hostilities abroad, you have 60 days with which you can do that before you have to either terminate it or get specific authorization from Congress. And this is really, really important. It basically reiterates what the Constitution already says. And, you know, James Madison said that there's in no part of the Constitution is more wisdom to be found than in the clause which confides the question of war or peace to the legislature and not the executive department. It's the sort of one thing that preserves, you know, creeping tyranny.
Yes.
To protect the ability of Congress, reflecting the will of the American people, from going to, you know, that they have the prerogative to tell us when we can go to war and authorize the executive branch to do so.
Right. And, of course, back when James Madison was making these statements, they didn't have missiles that could take minutes to get to us. You know, they had the British climbing aboard ships or canoes or something, you know, so they had a little more time to debate whether or not to go to war with somebody. But, you know, right.
Sure, but I.
Go
but
ahead.
Mm-hmm. Let me just quickly, because. So that's true. I would argue that certain features of the modern system of war with all its technology have actually made us safer and not more vulnerable. But at the time that Madison was saying those kinds of things, you know, at the end of the 1700s, early 1800s, Madison actually refused to engage in hostilities with Britain in the lead up to the 1812 war. Before he could get authorization from Congress. And actually, the British had already invaded. They already encroached upon U.S. territory before James Madison was could get authorization from Congress.
Wow.
So, you know, even back then, when empires like the Spanish Empire, the British Empire, and, you know, roaming Indians were a real threat to people on our own territory, and now we don't even have that. But still, back then, it was more important for to protect Congress's prerogative.
Right. So, of course, we've got to be ready, and if somebody attacks us, we can't, as you just pointed out, we can't just say, well, let's all get together, let's get everybody into the room here, and let's take a vote, you know, meanwhile they're outside pillaging and burning. So you got to have something. And so that's understood. And so the War Powers Act apparently is supposed to be that. Well, look at after World War II. You know, with the situation with Japan and China and Korea and how everything worked out the way it did and how we ended up, you know, I guess posting soldiers on the southern side of that demilitarized zone. And eventually we ended up going to some sort of a war with them. And it seems like, you know, in the modern era, that's kind of where the start of this loss of control of Congress started to occur, right?
Yes. And you can actually see this, you know, the Congressional Research Service publishes studies, and they one of the studies that they regularly publish is just a list of formal executive branch notifications to Congress about troops abroad, about ongoing wars and so on. They're obligated to report these. And what it shows is that the instances of U.S. military intervention expanded massively in the Cold War. And when the Cold War ended, it actually expanded even more. So in the 10 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, there were more than 60 significant deployments to nearly two dozen countries. Panama, Iraq, Somalia, Yugoslavia, Bosnia and Kosovo, Albania, Congo, East Timor, I mean, the list goes on. In the 30 years since the end of the Cold War, we've engaged in more individual military interventions than we had in the preceding 190 years of our existence as a nation. So this power has just expanded massively in the executive branch. And so, for example, you take 9/11. You know, there were two bills passed post 9/11, one in 2001 and one in 2002. The first one authorized military action against those people who perpetrated the 9/11 attacks and anyone who was supporting them. The three presidents in a row now have expanded that authorization to go to hostilities in more than 14 countries, and even engaged in military action against groups who are not only weren't responsible for the 9/11 attacks, but weren't even in existence at the time of the 9/11 attacks, or are in fact enemies with the perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks. And so there's basically no one reining in the ability of the president to go to war and take military action in countries without congressional authorization. It's a basic violation of the Constitution.
Yeah. We're talking with John Glazer. He is the director of foreign policy studies at the Great Cato Institute. It's a great libertarian organization, by the way. Good think tank. And John, so how does Congress get its mojo back here? How do you put the genie back in the bottle? How do you get back to the actual, you know, how are they going to do that? I mean, we got, like you say, we've expanded our tentacles into all kinds of things out there. And at some point, yeah. I mean, are we going to be able to pull back on all of this? Are we going to be able to start over? What do you think?
So I think it's going to take quite a big shock, some major abuse of power by a president in this realm, before the political will can rise to the level in Congress where something can actually be done about it. You know, lately, just in the past couple of years, we have actually seen more activity in Congress on this issue. So after the Soleimani strike, for example, Trump's authorization for a drone strike against a top Iranian official, you know, a bipartisan piece of a bipartisan resolution in the House, and then I believe later in the Senate, or it hasn't passed the Senate yet.
No,
but the House passed a bipartisan piece of resolution, you know, curbing the president's authority to go to war with Iran.
Yeah, the use of military force in Iraq Act, is that what we're dealing with now, or is that something that was on the books already?
The administration's case for the Soleimani strike has been, their legal defense has been a bit of a moving target. So on the one hand, some of them cite 2002 authorization for the use of military force against Iraq. That's what authorized the U.S. military to go to war against the Saddam Hussein regime, which is no longer in existence.
Right.
Soleimani is an Iranian official who happened to be in Iraqi territory. The notion that, first of all, this 2002 AOMF should still be in operation, I think, is dubious. Of course, it doesn't authorize making attacks on high officials in countries that the AOMF doesn't explicitly mention. And then the other argument that they put out is that it was, defending against an imminent threat of attack. But they've provided no evidence, not even to the relevant congressional committees behind closed doors in a classified setting. They haven't actually demonstrated that that's true. And it appears from the reporting that that there was no imminent threat.
You know, excuse me for interrupting, but I'm just thinking about the scenario of how the Congress could, if they would ever again declare war. Because in this day and age, first of all, if they were thinking about declaring war on a particular country, and it's the nuclear age, and the way communications go, and the way leaks go, and the way this, I mean, don't you think that the other country would already be aware of it? And would, I mean, they would have to do it so secretly or somehow. I mean, I just don't see the reality of enforcing it, if you want to know the truth. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know what? There are domestic political incentives that have pushed Congress not to exercise its prerogatives on war powers. So it's very easy for Congress to sit back and let the president, let the executive branch, take both or either the blame or the fault for engaging in this or that military intervention. They know, Congress knows, that wars are controversial. You know, they sometimes lead to a public backlash. And so they're fine to have the president sort of take full responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Passing the buck. Guarding their own response, their own
big time passing the buck. They don't want the responsibility. Right. That's why I'm just thinking, I don't see how we would ever get Congress together. I mean, forget this one. This is the most polarized Congress I've ever witnessed. But, you know, even one that's in somewhat, you know, better relationship. I don't see how we would get this the declaration of war by Congress again. Now, maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. Anyway, John, thank you so very much for being with us. Very interesting discussion, and I hope we can talk further down the road with you.
Thanks so much.
All right. John Glazer, Cato Institute. We're going to take our break. Whoa. And be back. We're going to, hopefully, after the break, talk with the proprietor of the barber poll. We're going to get back into this whole thing about impeachment of Trump and witnesses.
Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a very chilly morning. I wonder how the oranges are doing out there in the orchards, you know, with all of this cold weather. When it gets down to the 30s, and it did, like Big Ed told us, about 34 degrees, I guess, overnight. That's not good for the oranges, Ed.
Or the iguanas. Did you hear about them?
Yes. Tell us about falling out of trees.
Yes.
What's going on here?
Certain temperature, iguanas, their body shuts down. They're up in the tree and it gets into the 30s and it stuns them and they just shut down.
They fall?
They fall to the ground.
So they get into some sort of a trance or something?
Sort of like that.
Wow.
It just almost like a hibernation.
Yeah.
Shuts down and then they fall. Usually they fall into the grass, whatever. They're fine. They wake up a little when it warms up. They all of a sudden wake up. But I think for the next global warming commercial, what they need to do is just show the iguanas. Now it's raining iguanas.
Yeah, I know.
Global warming is so bad.
Iguanas are falling all over the place. I don't know how that leads into talking with the proprietor of the barber pole, but don't step on any iguanas on your way back to the barber shop, Andrew. Listen,
they give me the willies. I don't like them.
Do you really?
Imagine sitting on a park bench.
Give me the willies, man. I don't like spiders and snakes and iguanas.
I like iguanas. Spiders and snakes, no.
You sitting on a park bench with your girl under a tree.
Don't laugh. I had a snake fall on Nicole and Candy one time in my pool bird cage.
Oh.
There was a snake coming across the ceiling. As a matter of fact, Barack Obama was on doing something at the time, and they were out by the pool. And I told him, come on, you got to listen to this jerk. He's on now. And all of a sudden, they started screaming and everything. I thought they were getting excited about Obama. Meanwhile, it was a snake fell on the two of them.
Oh,
I'll never forget that one. It was beautiful.
My goodness. Before we get into talking about Donald Trump and the impeachment, Andrew, I want to ask you about the gun rights rally in Richmond, Virginia on Monday. It was very peaceful, thank goodness.
Yep. Yeah, it was very peaceful, but you know what?
What?
The Senate's still passing their bills, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're so still... what good was it? What did they learn?
Well, I think they saw a peaceful group of people that were exercising their First Amendment rights to try to hold up the Second Amendment. That's what I think.
And where did it get them?
I think it got them good publicity and PR, and it shut down the media, the mainstream media, which was, I think, desperately looking for trouble. Don't you?
Oh, of course they were. That would have made the news.
Yeah.
So now, that would have made the news.
So all
that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. But nothing got done. After all that, they're still passing their laws.
Mm-hmm.
But will they try to put them in effect, see what happens?
A lot of the districts and counties in Virginia, the people running them said, no, we're not, these will be sanctuary free. In other words,
that's right, you can keep your guns.
You can keep your guns, that's what I mean, yeah. Very interesting. We're going to, of course, keep following it. And,
it's a line that's drawn, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, and what's going to happen from there remains to be seen. But right now, you know, everything is the impeachment.
I know.
And it's a joke. I was watching.
Were you watching it?
They already caught him lying. I got it on the computer in the back. You know, I got to listen to this crap.
So you were listening to a lot of it last night.
Oh, yes. Yep.
There is one amendment after another that Chuck Schumer is trying to pass. Every one of them is falling 53-47 party line.
That's right. Well, that's what the whole thing's going to be. They know the results, Paul.
Yeah.
They're just going to try and drag it out. They ain't going to allow no witnesses. They're going to get this
done. That's what I was going to ask. You don't think witnesses will be allowed at the end of this?
Nah. I don't think it's going to be nothing.
Oh, nuts. I was kind of hoping to see the whistleblower. I was hoping to see...
Yeah, you aren't going to see a whistleblower because you know there isn't any.
Doggone it. And then, the guy that they said is the
whistleblower. Yeah, that Camarelli or whatever it was. You don't hear nothing about that poor guy no more, do you?
Where is he? Is he in witness
protection? He's in hiding somewhere in a bunker.
He's in witness protection somewhere in the Bering Strait.
That's right.
Wow. I see.
No
okay.
question.
So,
now
we got very interesting. This is on the Democratic side mostly, but we've got Hillary Clinton dissing Bernie Sanders. I don't know if
they don't want him again. They're going to try the same thing.
There's a Sundance documentary about Hillary, and she was asked about this, about what she has to say, and she doesn't like him.
No.
She doesn't
come right
like
out.
Him. She said he was in Congress for years. He had one senator support him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him. He's got nothing done. He's a career politician. I thought she was talking about herself.
Yeah, all of them. And why do they want Biden?
Well, I want to finish with Hillary. At first she said basically she wouldn't even endorse him. But now she's backing off. She's getting a lot of flack on that. Now, in the meantime, Tulsi Gabbard is suing. Did you know this? Is suing?
I didn't know this one.
Oh, well, you got to listen. I'm sure you're housebroken on this one, but listen. Tulsi Gabbard is suing Hillary on the grounds that Hillary defamed her when she called Tulsi a Russian asset. You remember when she called her a Russian asset?
Yeah.
So she's being sued.
Yeah,
and,
well, good. You got the money.
I think they're suing her for $50 million, but don't hold me to that one. Here's what Tulsi says. Clinton lied about her perceived rival. This is the lawsuit. Clinton lied about her perceived rival, Tulsi Gabbard. She did so publicly, unambiguously, and with obvious malicious intent. So that's going on. I think this is all becoming very,
What kind of car does Tulsi drive?
Better
be careful.
I know. And she better look under her car before she gets in and turns
That's
on.
That's what I'm saying. You better be careful.
I know. You're right about that. It does seem like if you get on the wrong side of the Clintons, you're gone.
Something seems to happen.
Yeah, something does seem to happen. So this trial is going to drag on for a little bit longer. We know that nobody is going to be, Donald Trump will be
exonerated. No question. Paul, and you know, they already caught Adam Schiff's a couple lies.
Yeah.
While he was up there doing his spiel. And if the Republicans were smart, they should get up there and say, listen, anything you talk about is uncredible. We already caught you lying two times. You need to recluse yourself right now. And we're going to call you as the first witness. How's that?
Yeah. No.
That's what they should be doing. Your word is no good.
Now, that would get some TV. That would get some ratings, wouldn't it?
Your word is no good. We can't rely on anything that you say. You've been caught how many times now?
I'm trying to think of who I would rather see on the witness chair. Adam Schiff, Eric Sciaramella, the whistleblower, or Hunter Biden. I think
all three at once, man. All three at once would
be
beautiful.
Wouldn't it be great?
One after another. I think you'd see Adam Schiff, his eyes would go in two different directions this time if he was on there. You see Hunter Biden, he'd be going into a cold sweat, turning a little red. You know, and Sciaramella, I don't know, man. They got to find wherever he's hidden to bring him out. He ain't going nowhere.
I know. I was just thinking about, I shouldn't say this, but Adam Schiff reminds me, talking about an iguana or a... I think I'll leave this alone. Okay, now, in the meantime, Donald Trump is apparently having a good time in Davos, Switzerland. He is set to hold a news conference. I'm not sure if he started it yet or not. He might have. I think he did.
Paul, look at this guy. He's out there working, getting stuff done, and these morons are doing nothing but wasting taxpayers' money for nothing. And did you hear Maxine Waters again? Dave was on the TV this morning. I don't care what. I'm never going to give up. Impeach 45. We got to impeach 45. Well, I'll tell you what. I'd like to stick a roll of toilet paper in that woman's mouth.
You know what? I think you could make some money as a voice impersonator. You're pretty good at it now that I think about
She's terrible. I can't believe her. Where do they find these morons?
Aunt Esther. And you're the
That's right. That was the name I gave her a long time ago.
I must tell you, she does look like Aunt Esther, and she does sound
I told
like
you.
Her. That's kind of scary. It is the second coming of Aunt Esther.
Where's Red Fox? We need him.
Where is he when we need him? Boy, some of those shows. What was that? What was that show with the comedian, and he dressed up as a woman all the time? Oh,
he thought it was Stanford and Son he was on.
No, not Red Fox. I don't know why I'm even bringing this up. No, the comedian that he would dress up and as a woman.
The Mama's House.
No. He had his own show. It was his name was in the title of the show. I can't think of it. Ed, help me out.
Ed, Flip Wilson.
Yes.
He used to dress up like a woman.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, Ernestine. He's called Ernestine.
Ernestine. Flip, whatever happened to Flip Wilson?
He's still around. I don't think he's dead.
I hope not. We have to look him up. Ed, do you know if Flip Wilson is still alive? You don't know. Okay, we'll look him up. Anyway, we're getting way off target. So you are going to watch what's going on.
I'm going to turn on a little bit today just for the hell of it. That's what I can see to make fools of himself. It's cheap entertainment.
When do you think this is going to end? Do you think next week sometime, like late next week?
I don't think it's going to go that long, Paul.
Yeah.
And everything's going down party lines. Even Romney's voting with the Republicans.
Oh, yeah. So far, exactly. You got to give credit to McConnell.
Flip Wilson died 21 years ago.
Oh, he did.
Did he? He looked it up. Look at that.
21 years ago. He would have been very young.
Instead of saying, hey, Google, we'll say, hey, Ed.
Wow.
Hey.
65 years old.
He was 65, and he died.
He's young.
He died 21 years ago.
Yeah,
he would have been 86.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
time
does fly, doesn't it?
There it goes.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know how you brought me to talk about Flip Wilson, but for whatever reason, thanks a lot.
We're thinking about the Democrats being comedians, so we're just naming some more.
And Esther, we were going back to the 70s. You are correct, sir. You are correct.
But Paul, I give it till probably the end of next week. They're gonna round this stuff up. And I think when this is done, you're going to see Durham start coming out with some stuff.
You think he's waiting?
Yeah, but look at how they're keeping it. You know how Rudy Giuliani just kind of disappeared off the face of the earth? You see him here and there a little bit.
I saw him the other day. He was on Fox News.
Yep.
And he said, boy, I sure wish I could get in front of the in front of the Senate and talk a little bit about what's going on and what they've been saying about me and this.
That's right. He's got all kinds of stuff, I guess.
He does.
They're keeping him quiet right now.
He does have a lot of stuff.
I think they're holding him back until all this stuff is out of the way, and then it's all going to break loose.
Well, this we know for sure. There are no hands that are clean on the Democratic side of this impeachment when it comes
to nothing, and that's why they're all fighting the way they're fighting, Paul. And not only with the impeachment, with all this Spygate stuff and everything else, with the coup against Trump, this is all going to go down. It's the biggest scandal in American history.
It does seem like, it's the biggest waste of time and the biggest phony scandal.
That's what I'm saying. They're trying to coup against the President of the United States.
Yeah.
It'll all come down, and I think they'll all be convicted.
So, Andrew, do you think when this trial is over, it'll be a party-line vote, or do you think some Democrats will vote also to exonerate Trump?
I think you might see two or three Democrats vote to exonerate him, but not many more.
Okay. And no Republicans to vote against. I mean,
I don't think so. I think McCluskey and him, that they would be political suicide.
I think you may be right.
For Romney, McCluskey, and what's the other one's name there?
We've got Collins of Maine.
Collins, there you go. McCluskey and from Alaska.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that you're right. I kind of liked Susan Collins after when they were going after the Supreme Court justice, and she stood up and she made, I thought, an impassioned plea as to why she would say that they should not try to kick him out of the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Susan Collins did that. I respect her.
I still keep my eyes on her.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Andrew, as always, my friend, thank you so very much, and we will be talking with you on Friday, where hopefully we will be a little bit further down the road in getting this doggone impeachment trial over with.
You got it, buddy. Be good.
All right.
Talk to you Friday.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andrew. There he goes. Andrew the Master Barber, and the only proprietor of the poll that matters, the Barber Poll. All right, let us take our break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about acetaminophen and how it might cause cancer. Oh, baby, la, 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 hey. You can have this dance with me. You can hold my hand and whisper in my ear. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final portion of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much. You know, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. This is the only place to go to really get the right news, the straight dope, and some opinions as well. Okay, so speaking about dope, California may label acetaminophen as a carcinogen. There is a fight coming to the Golden State over whether or not to list one of the world's most common over-the-counter drugs as a carcinogen. Now, acetaminophen is used to treat pain and fevers. It's the basis for more than 600 different prescription and over-the-counter medications for kids and adults. I mean, everybody's used it, have they not, at some point or another? It's in things like Tylenol, Excedrin, Sudafed, Robitussin, Theraflu. I mean, so California, which is always on the cutting edge, and when I say cutting edge, it means they're always on the edge of the cliff and about to fall off, are considering a state law known as Proposition 65, where California must warn people of any chemical known to cause cancer or reproductive toxicity. And they want to include acetaminophen in this whole thing. Apparently, the state has reviewed 133 studies about acetaminophen. And some studies, not all, but some reported an increased risk of some types of cancer, while others did not. Overall, the review said acetaminophen has been difficult to examine because it's hard to isolate it from other things that you've ingested and done with. So they're not sure. So I guess what they would do is they would put a warning label on it. Maybe that's about it. Apparently, evidence for acetaminophen's link to cancer has been weak. U.S. Food and Drug Administration has warned California that labeling it as cancer-causing would be false and misleading. So, Ed, you may continue to use your acetaminophen.
I know some years ago they passed a law to reduce the amount in certain medication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've heard aspirin, like taking one aspirin a day or taking one aspirin every other day, is actually good for most people. But I hear if you take too much aspirin, it can work at the lining of your stomach.
Yeah, it'll eat the lining of your stomach.
Yeah. So it's got some sort of corrosive material.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, Ben Franklin said, all things in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that you know that, I want to talk to you about a very moderating moment with Pete Buttigieg. He had a Jeb Bush moment, okay? And I'm going to read it to you, Ed. Former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, you know, he's running for president, elicited a moment of awkward silence during a campaign event in Iowa, sparking comparison with another viral moment during the 2016 election cycle.
Please clap.
Yes. Yes. That's right on the button. Right on the button. So here's what he said. This is what Buttigieg said. He said during his presentation, by having better hands guided by better values on those pulleys and levers of American government, so I'm going to look to you to spread that sense of hope to those that you know.
Please clap.
And that's what did not happen to Pete Buttigieg. He took a brief pause, which was met with complete silence by the attendees. Then Buttigieg says, come on.
Please clap.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when they apparently applauded. So they go, oh, is this when we are supposed? They should have somebody standing at the side with the applause sign. They do that in television productions.
I think what Jeb had, I think, when, you know, his speech written out or on the teleprompter, whatever it was,
yeah,
it probably said, wait for applause. Now, like on a game show, they have that, or, you know, like the one of those shows, they have that thing that lights up and goes, applause, applause,
it's
applause.
It's a teleprompter that lights up and with lights that says applause.
And it just didn't work.
No, it didn't. Know? It did. Now, that's what Jeb Bush did. Now, here was the problem. The reason that people didn't clap at that climactic moment during his speech is that he had put them to sleep.
Yeah.
So you can't clap and sleep at the same time, okay? All right. The end of that, my friend. We have to go to a top 10 that we have, and I think it's pretty good. The other day we did the top 10, I guess you would say most of all, where people had the most, the biggest problem with weight, all right? So now we've got the top 10 fittest states in the U.S. I want to see if Ed knows which one it is. I think a lot of people would guess correctly on this one, all right? That's all I'm going to say. But this comes from Consumer Protect is the organization, which analyzed data from the Centers for Disease Control to come up with what really amounts to the 10 least obese states in the U.S. So here we go. Number 10. Connecticut. Yeah. Only 26%. 26.9% of their people are overweight. Number 9. Nevada. Huh. Well, you're running from one slot machine to another, and then you got to go over to the card table.
You're spending all your money on gambling. You have nothing to eat.
You have nothing to eat. You're right. And 26.7% is the percentage of obese people there. Number 8. Massachusetts. 25.9% of people there are overweight. Number 7. New York, interestingly enough. I don't know how they made it, but they did. 25.7%.
Well, they had that brilliant mayor that got rid of all those big gulps.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about it.
People dropping weight like crazy.
They are now, right? They're drinking water. Yeah. Okay, number 5. Montana. Now, you see, you're herding sheep. You got to realize you're out running around herding sheep.
Yeah,
you're
running after livestock.
And running after livestock. And we're not going to get too... Anyway, actually, they're tied with the next one. Utah. Now, Utah's got a lot of Mormons. I don't know how... I think probably Mormons are probably more diet conscious, maybe. I don't know. You know, they practice a lot of abstinence, Mormon. And there's one thing they don't practice abstinence in. But everything else, they practiced a little bit of abstinence. So these two, Montana, Utah, tied for number 5. All right, number 4, California. Now, you always think of people, you know, aerobics and walking and roller skating and all that. So I'm not surprised about that. But 25.1% of their people are overweight. Number 3, Hawaii.
Ah, that was my one.
I would have thought... possibly Hawaii would have been number 1. And it's close. But 23.8% of their people are overweight. Number 2. D.C., the District of Columbia. Would you believe that one?
Wow.
Now, everybody's running away from somebody else, and they're trying to escape lawyers and lobbyists. So they put their track shoes on, keeps them in shape. Only 23% of the people in D.C. are overweight. All right, Ed, we're down to number 1. Got a little time here to think about it. I'll give you a little time while I just continue to talk. You know, where do you think? I'll give you a hint. There's a lot of hiking and stuff that probably goes on here. I'll give you a real big hint. I know you've been there.
Oh.
Now, okay. Now I think you do it. Let's see. What else could I tell you?
I know where it is.
And there's a lot of mountains there and stuff like that. Oh, now I see. You know what it is.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say Florida, but.
You were?
Yeah, I was going to say it.
Why? Maybe I should ask you, why would you have
even thought? Because of warm weather, you know, okay. Hawaii and, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking, so, but I think Colorado is
Colorado,
probably.
You think it's Colorado, yep. Huh? The mountains. All right, here we go. Number 1 is, you are correct.
Colorado.
Yes, sir, it's Colorado, and I was not surprised to see that. They are very into walking, climbing, hiking, biking, blah, 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 blah.
Skiing. Yeah.
Skiing, correct.
Exactly. So year-round stuff, yeah.
It's year-round stuff. All right, my friends, stay tuned, by the way, for the Craft Beer Hour with host Kenny and Bill right after the news. Great show. Find out lots about craft beer. In the meantime, we're back Friday. Always remember, freedom works.